Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. Michael, my buddy, if you're listening, I just want to take this time to thank you from the bottom of my heart for the wonderful honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. And in particular, I reviewed your book for the Washington Times several weeks ago. I thought it was an absolutely brilliant work, extremely well written, laid out the argument against Obama almost better than I think anyone has ever done in the last couple of years. And I know it's a number one bestseller, and I know it's been extremely, it's done very well, New York Times, Wall Street Journal, you name it, has done extremely well. But what I find remarkable, Michael, is how so few people on the right, the supposed conservative intelligentsia, failed to heed the warnings and the advice that you have dispensed over the last couple years and that is clearly articulated in your book, Trickle Down Tyranny. You said he was creating a socialist states of America. You said Barack Obama was slowly imposing a socialist revolution from above. You warned us of his ties to George Soros. You warned us of his ties to the radical left. And yet, many in the conservative media political class ignored your dire warnings. And now it may be too late. We shall see this November. But for your courage, your honesty, your bravery, your brilliance, I just want to thank you, my buddy. To all of you out there, go to michaelsavage.com. Michaelsavage.com. For the absolute must-read stories you cannot find anywhere else. And in particular, there is a story on the top right-hand side. It's not at the top, just underneath the top. Majority believe Obama has changed country for the worse. Here we have it in a nutshell, members of the Savage Nation. There is now a new opinion poll taken by the Hill newspaper, which is a very credible paper here in Washington. I read it very often. It has fantastic information in terms of what's happening inside D.C., Congress, White House, the politics that take place in this city. In a recent poll, an overwhelming majority of Americans, nearly 90%, believe that the country has been profoundly changed and transformed under Obama. The question then is, has it been good or bad? 56% of Americans believe that the country has been transformed in a negative way. Only 35% believe the country, yes, it's changed, but for the better. It has been a positive transformation. And what is stunning about these results, it's not just conservatives. It's not just Republicans. It's not just independents. One in five Democrats, the supposed, I guess, Clinton Democrats or moderate Democrats or blue dog Democrats, whatever you want to call them, they also believe the country has changed for the worst. And this is what Michael Savage was warning us from the beginning. This was not your typical New Deal liberal. This was not a black Franklin Roosevelt that was coming into the Oval Office in 2009. This was a Marxist revolutionary. This was a diehard socialist. This was an America hater. And if you remember, Obama himself hinted at it. Like every fanatic, like every ideologue, he can't help himself but reveal his real designs and intentions upon the country. And Obama said, I want to be what Ronald Reagan was for the conservative movement. I want to be for the left a transformative president. I want to transform America. And over the last 3 years, that is exactly what he has done. And now today, he comes out in the East Room of the White House and holds another speech in front of the fawning press corps who love him the way the left used to love Castro or Lenin or Stalin. And he then announces that he will raise taxes next year on families or individuals earning more than $250,000 a year. He says he will no longer extend the Bush tax rates for those making more than $250,000. He says, yes, for those that make less than $250,000, I will extend the Bush tax rates for one more year. But not for those making over $250,000. That is, quote, the rich, according to Barack Hussein Obama. The fact of the matter is, the overwhelming majority of small businesses in this country, the mom and pop stores, the little firms, the businesses, the restaurants, the bars that hire 6, 8, 7, 9 people, that's them. They make a little bit over $250,000 a year. They make about $1 million, $2 million. They got to meet payroll, they got overhead, they got expenses. Overwhelmingly, these small businesses are going to be soaked and hosed. It will break the back of this economy. Already, businesses have been fleeing. Investment capital has been fleeing. My friends, American business is sitting on trillions of dollars of cash. They don't want to invest it, because they're afraid of the next move that this socialist, this fascist, this Marxist in the White House is going to do next. They got Obamacare now to deal with, which is going to put another blow to the economy. So they don't want to invest any money. And that's what this man is proposing. Now, when we're on the verge of a double dip recession, he proposes more taxes. As Michael Savage eloquently put it once, Obama is, quote, the great destroyer, unquote. And what has been his main victim? It has been the middle class. That has been his enemy from day one. Yes, it's the wealthy. Yes, it's the rich. Yes, it's corporations. Yes, it's big business. But in particular, he wants to destroy and break the back of the middle class. Why? Because the middle class is the heart of this country. The middle class built America. The middle class is the cradle of our republic and the cradle of our democracy. That's why he's been spending money like a drunken sailor, bankrupting us. That's why he passed and rammed through Obamacare. To make the middle class now dependent upon government subsidies, dependent upon government health care. And we are slowly being impoverished, day by day by day. Don't even take my word for it. On Friday, the latest jobs report came out. For the last 3 months, we have not been able to produce more than 80,000 jobs a month. We're not even making enough jobs to take care of the new people coming into the workforce. We're not going forward, we're going backwards. It is unbelievable. Unemployment is now at 8.2%. It has been for over 40 months, over 3 years. You count in those that are underemployed or those that have given up working, the real number is 15%. That's the Great Depression. 15%, that's the Great Depression. We are living through an Obama depression. For blacks, unemployment is at 14.4%. Hispanics, 11%. I ask all of you, Has this man not been an absolute dismal failure? And as gas prices soar, as food prices go up, as the economy is now stalled, as unemployment is now at over 8%, as the headwinds are now coming in from everywhere, from Europe, from Asia, from China, everywhere now the global economy is slowing down. As we dig ourselves into a financial and deficit hole we may never recover from. As he has impoverished and destroyed the working class. What is the dear leader telling the people on the campaign stump? Here is Barack Obama. Over the weekend in the key state of Ohio, saying, don't worry, being middle class, nothing to do with money. Guys, it's a state of mind.
Boys, middle class is also an attitude. It's not just about income. It's about knowing what's important. And not measuring your success just based on your bank account. But it's about your values and being responsible. And looking after each other.
No, it's not. Being middle class, that the classic definition of middle class is by your income. What status, what income status you fall in. Are you wealthy? Are you upper middle? Are you middle? Are you lower middle? Or are you working class? Or are you poor? Stupid. I don't know how else to say this. It's unbelievable. And the only reason, think about it. You're on the verge now of losing your job. You're on the verge now of foreclosing on your home. You're on the verge of being kicked out on the street. Don't worry about it. It's a state of mind. You're still middle class. No. We're going to be bankrupt as a country. Don't worry about it. We're still middle class. It's a state of mind. You don't understand. It's like him. Notice now, his whole campaign is now based upon now this new narrative. Suddenly, no, he's no longer the one. He's no longer the Messiah. He's no longer the man who will part the seas and create a liberal utopia. No, now he's Mr. Middle Class. All of a sudden now he cares about the middle class. He's in Ohio. He's in Pennsylvania. He's running around going at bars, drinking beers with the ordinary folks. He's middle class. He doesn't want you to know he made $15 million. That's his latest tax returns. He raked in $15 million from his books and from other sources of income. This guy's a multimillionaire several times over. Don't get me wrong. I don't begrudge a man his money. But don't tell me you're making $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year. You're the one who cares about the poor guy, the poor schmuck in Ohio or the steel worker in Pennsylvania. When you've been living off the fat of the land your entire career in life. My friends, we have a con man in the White House. And now the majority of the American people have finally understood that this man is changing this country for the worse. This is the importance of that opinion poll. This is why it's so important. 56% of Americans now believe and know we've changed, but we've changed in a negative way. So the question for the members of the Savage Nation, it's a very simple question. Do you believe under Obama that this country has changed for the worse or for the better? Personally, on your gut level, in your everyday living, has your standard of living gone up or down? And to the Democrats out there, do you think the country's changed for the better? And why? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
And middle class is also an attitude. It's not just about income. It's about knowing what's important.
Yep.
And not measuring your success just based on your bank account.
No.
But it's about your values.
That's right.
And being responsible.
Yep.
And looking after each other.
Yep. Well, there you go. There's the dear leader. Listen, he may have cleaned out your bank account, You may be on the verge of losing your job or not getting a job, but that doesn't matter. You're still middle class, according to Barack Hussein Obama. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, 1-800-449-8255. Do you believe the country is worse or better off under Obama? James in Wisconsin, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, I'd like to definitely say that the country's not getting any better. He's not created any jobs. I mean, he just declared amnesty for all the illegal immigrants, or at least 100,000 of them, which would put 100,000 people back to work if they were sent back to the country of origin they came from, and they're illegally not supposed to be here.
Well, James, look, you're right, but it's even worse than that. He gave amnesty to nearly 1 million illegal immigrants, not 100,000. So you make a very good point. Why? First of all, we should never give amnesty to people who've broken the law. To me, that's number one, okay? But forget that. Just leave that off the table for a second. We are now in the midst of a severe recession. I don't care what the media is telling us. We are now in the middle of a serious recession. We have been for the last 3 to 4 years. Why are we giving amnesty to people when there are Americans who are out of work? It's the only reason why Obama did it, I'll tell you why. It's very simple. He's pandering. He wants to buy off the Hispanic vote. Everything he's done for the last 3.5 years, as Michael Savage rightly points out in his book, is to consolidate and expand his grip on power. That's it. All he cares about is imposing and consolidating a liberal regime. So he goes to blacks and African Americans. What do you want? To Hispanics, what do you want? To the labor unions, what do you want? To the environmentalists, what do you want? And the country, forget it. You know what? It's a big kiss-off to the entire country. That's what this guy's doing. Can't you see that? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. You know, I look at Democratic National Committee Chair Debbie Wasserman Schultz and I ask myself, how does somebody like her get to be the head of the DNC? Seriously. I look at her and I'm telling you, I say to myself, every time I see her on television, she was born in the wrong era and in the wrong country, serving the wrong regime. She would be perfect under Stalin's regime. I can just see her as the spokesperson for Stalin's regime. We're going to bury capitalism. Our industrial production is at 550%. We're having so much prosperity here. There's so much wheat. There's so much industry. There's so much economic growth. We're expanding daily. America's days are numbered. I look at her and I see a Stalinist slash hack. That's what I see. I see a Stalinist hack or a North Korean hack. In fact, I was telling this to some of the guys, the producers, before we got on the air. Debbie Wasserman Schultz, congresswoman from Florida, reminds me of that spokesman. Do you remember back in 2003 when we invaded Iraq? And our boys were literally pouring into Baghdad. We had it encircled. They were moving in. They were marching in towards downtown Baghdad. And they had, I forget his name now. They had this, what is it again, Jesse? Baghdad Bob. Baghdad Bob came out and he was the spokesman for Saddam Hussein. And he would come out and say, we have the infidels on the run. We have the infidels on the run. America is going to be smashed. We are beating America everywhere. America is losing the war. And the journalists are looking at him in utter disbelief, saying, just down the block. The Yanks are right down the block. The tanks are right there.
You're going to fall in a day or two. No, 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 no. We have the infidels on the run. We have the infidels on the run.
That should have been Debbie Wasserman Schultz's position. She missed her true calling. She should have been a flack for Saddam Hussein. I'm telling you. Here is Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Check this out. The jobs report comes out. 80,000 jobs in June. 69,000 jobs before that in the month of May. Last quarter, dismal job creation. We're going backwards, not forward. 8.2% unemployment. Real unemployment, 15%. We're stuck in the mud. The economy is at a standstill. Now, she goes on Fox News Sunday. She's on with this anchor called John Roberts, replacing Chris Wallace. So Roberts says, you want to keep spending? You want to keep all the deficits? You want to keep taxing? It hasn't worked for 3.5 years. Look at these job numbers. You know, the definition of insanity is to keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Here's Roberts interviewing Wasserman Schultz, and look at her response. Boys, roll it.
So then is the suggestion that we should just keep doing the same thing? You know, there's that old definition of doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
What we should do, keep it, I'm pretty happy about 28 straight months of job growth in the private sector.
Are you happy about 80,000 jobs last month?
Hold on a second, John.
69 the month before that? Yeah. Are you happy with those numbers?
Like I've said, we and President Obama has said, we need to continue to improve, and we need to do more, and we need to work together.
She's happy. She's happy with this job growth in the private sector. Hey, according to the Dear Leader a couple months ago, you remember that? The private sector is doing just fine. Everything's fine. What are people complaining about? It's hunky-dory out there. This is now a new dawn, a new beginning in America, according to Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Barack Hussein Obama. Do you think the country is worse or better off under Obama? 1-800-449-8255 is the number. I want to hear from you. Larry in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
You're a great fill-in for Michael.
Thank you, Larry.
Trickle-down tyranny. And you're absolutely right. My friends and relatives here in the Sacramento area are having a hell of a time surviving. There's no improvement in the economy, and I think we elected a communist member. I don't think there's any doubt about it.
Larry, you're dead on, and let me tell you how I know he's a communist. First of all, I think Savage has unmasked him brilliantly. Brilliantly, okay? But here's how I know he's a communist. Several years ago, I interviewed some of his former colleagues and fellow students when he was at University at Columbia. And they openly said to me, both at Occidental College and at Columbia, he was part of a Marxist-Leninist group. And as part of that group, he kept telling everybody a Marxist revolution must come to America. But the way to achieve it, he said, is by nationalizing healthcare. That is the key, he said. Because then the people will be dependent upon government for their health care. And once you own their body, once you own what kind of care they can get or their family can get or their children can get, then you own them in everything else. And that's why he spent the first year and year and a half. Think about it. We were in the midst of a severe recession. It was called the Great Recession. It was after Bush left. We were reeling. Lehman Brothers had collapsed. The whole stock market was on the verge of crashing. We thought this was going to be 20, 25, 30% unemployment. What does Obama do? He wastes a year and a half. Rahm Emanuel is even telling him, what are you doing spending a year and a half on health care? It's why Rahm Emanuel left. Even Rahm Emanuel, that thug, that Clintonista, that political gangster said, let me go to Chicagoland. These guys are crazy. They're really crazy. They're even more left-wing than Clinton, if that's possible. He didn't focus on the economy. He focused on health care because that was his plan from the beginning. And let me tell you who Barack Obama truly is. I think many on the right give him too much credit. I really do. I believe he is nothing more than a pawn.
than a shill for George Soros. He's like an actor. That's why he loves Hollywood so much. He's like a Hollywood actor. George Soros says jump, and he says how high. He's like the director. Soros is like the director. These are your lines, and this is what you're going to say. So you're going to nationalize healthcare. You're going to take over the banking industry and the financial markets through Dodd-Frank. You're going to give amnesty to illegal immigrants, and you're going to spend this economy and this country into the ground. Because I want America to be like Europe. That's what I want. I want to break the back of America, and I'm going to make my fortune, more billions, upon the destruction of America. And he's the one that funds the Democratic Party. Soros is the sugar daddy of the Democratic Party. When he calls, Obama picks up the phone right away. I don't care who's with him. Putin can be in front of him. It doesn't matter. Pelosi can be in front of him. Reid can be in front of him. Soros calls. He picks up that phone right away. Yes, Georgie. What do you want me to do now, Georgie? What's next, Georgie? We support Occupy Wall Street? Okay, we support Occupy Wall Street. You got it, Georgie. That's Obama. And that's George Soros. And that's why I believe that Obama is now determined to win a second term, because he knows he is on the cusp of history. He can taste it. He wins re-election, and it is the end of America as we know it. And it'll be a victory for him, for the New World Order, and for George Soros. 1-800-449-8255. Bill in New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
You know, Jeff, you just said the end of America as we know it, as if it's in the future. That's already happened. Basically, when Obama came into presidency, I've seen a great deal of the black community, who I'm very affiliated with, although I'm not black. They have risen to their a level of accomplishment, and they feel like they're able to do more and spend more money and basically do more in society. So when Obama came into office, from an ethical standpoint, it had a very, very strong impact on the black community as a whole.
Bill, let me ask you this. Besides the fact that he's half white and half black, and blacks feel pride that an African-American is now president of the United States. What is now the unemployment rate in the African-American community? Do you know, Bill?
I think you just said it was 12%.
14.4%. It's gone up under Obama. For black young men, what's the unemployment rate for black young men? Do you know, Bill?
I could tell you the reason why that happened.
No, hold on. No, I'm asking you this. What's the unemployment rate for black young men?
You just said in the
40s. No, I'm giving you the national average. It's 40%. 40%. So I ask you, with 14.4% unemployment for African Americans, with record numbers of Americans on food stamps, with young black men 40% unemployed, with the drugs, with the crime, with the gangbangers, with the fact that we're on the verge of $16 trillion debt, we're on the verge of national bankruptcy. You tell me, how has Obama benefited young African American or any African American? How has this helped blacks? The fact that they have 14% unemployment. How does this help them, Bill?
I just want to tell you, we have a president, we have a vice president, and we have a whole coalition of people under them that are allowing this to happen. And they're making it easier for it to happen by extending, for example, unemployment benefits, or extending, for example, food stamp benefits.
Bill, being on welfare, how is that a sign of prosperity? Don't you think it would benefit the African-American community if they got real jobs and created real businesses and had real money in their pocket and had safe streets? I mean, look, let me give you another example. Forget it, because look, we obviously facts don't permeate with liberals like you. So let me make another point. Many African Americans are suffering in the construction industry, in the manufacturing industry, in the textile industry. Those were traditional African American jobs. They have now been taken over by illegal immigrants, for the most part. Now, when he gives amnesty to 1 million illegal immigrants, how does that help African Americans? They're being shafted. So just the fact that he's black,
that somehow is the reason why African Americans should vote for him? You know what that is? That's racial tribalism. That's what it is. What if I said to people, and I never would say this because I couldn't even imagine thinking like this, but what if I said, you know what? Vote for Mitt Romney just because he's white. Or vote for John Kerry just because he's white. Or I support George W. Bush just because he's white. People would say, this is outrageous. This is racism. So why is it for blacks or African Americans when they say, I support Barack Obama, right or wrong, good or bad, because he's an African American? Why is that not called what it is? Racial tribalism. It's wrong. And I'm telling you this, of all the groups in America that are now being shafted by Barack Hussein Obama, the one that's really taking it on the chin, ironically, sadly, and tragically, are blacks themselves. Tina in Houston, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. In response to your question, is this country better off or worse since Barack Obama became president? And I personally feel in my heart that this beautiful United States of America is going down, and it is worse off since Barack has become president. I don't care that he's black, but he's not the right black man. He does not love our country. His policies, everything he's putting forth, everything that he's involved in. And don't forget, and I just recalled when you were talking to this young man, that, you know, he does tell us what he's going to do. People didn't listen, or maybe they didn't believe, or maybe they were, in a state of, shock or something. But everything he said he was going to do, he's done. And you're right. He wants to make people dependent on the government, which they are. And the more they do that, don't forget that when the government gives you, they're going to want something in return sooner or later.
You got it. You nailed it. You know what happens? We are no longer free-born citizens. We are now subjects. We are serfs. The government owns us in every way, shape, and form. And what I can't stand, Tina, is every time you mention all of these criticisms of Obama, the overwhelming evidence, the overwhelming facts, the overwhelming truth, they play the race card. Suddenly you don't like him because he's black. Well, let me now say it clearly and unequivocally for the whole country to understand. We don't give a damn about the color of his skin. We care about the color of his politics and their socialist red. And that's why he has to go. The sooner, the better. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Joe in Sacramento, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, hello, Jeff. I've listened to Obama lecture Congress. He's lectured the Supreme Court. Now I've got to listen to him lecture me on what is middle class and who is middle class. Tell me that we have to help each other. Why have I been paying taxes for the last 39 years if I haven't been helping out everybody else in this country? I'm disgusted with this guy.
Joe, you should be. He's taking you and the American taxpayer for a ride. I'm going to be very candid with you. Look, I thought George W. Bush was a bad president. Oh, man. This guy is George Bush on steroids. This is unbelievable. Look, people don't understand this. Less than 50% of Americans now pay taxes. Over 50%, slightly over 50%, no longer pay any federal income taxes. Nothing. Zero. Nada. Zilch. Nothing. So we are becoming a nation of deadbeats. We now have 50% of the American people no longer pay a penny, a cent in income taxes. So you have 50% of the country, people like you, Joe, yes, the middle class, the upper middle class, the middle class, the working class, who are now basically subsidizing the other 50%. And they're the ones that are now living high on the hog. They're the ones with the food stamps, the welfare, the unemployment insurance, the Pell Grants, all of these government goodies. You're paying for it. We're paying for it. Now, look, don't get me wrong. If a fellow American is hurting, I want to help. But unemployment is supposed to be a couple months. It's not supposed to be 2 years. It's not supposed to be 99 months. I have a guy right across the street from where I live. I kid you not. It has been nearly 3 years. The guy has not been able to, he refuses to find a job. He sits in front on his lawn in that little toy pool of his, you know, for the kids, the little small little pools. He puts a lawn chair. He's reading Sports Illustrated. I have to see him every day. His stomach is getting bigger and bigger. He's becoming a beached whale. It's one Bud Light after another. He refuses to look for work. And so I finally asked him, I said, hey, how could you be unemployed this long? He goes, hey, they keep extending unemployment insurance. So why should I work? He goes, there are plenty of jobs. I can get work, but not compared to what I'm making on unemployment. So why should I bother working? And I'm thinking, well, okay, if that's your attitude, how about the fact that I'm paying for it? How about the fact that most Americans are paying for it? How about the fact that for most of American history, people were ashamed to live off the dole? Where's your self-respect? Quickly, Michelle, Mississippi. I got about a minute. Go.
Yes, sir. One thing that's good that's come out of this presidency is that it's woken up the American voter and set back the liberal agenda. People have seen what it causes. They don't like it, and they're going to educate themselves when they vote this year.
Michelle, I think he's awoken a sleeping giant. I think Middle America, I think the Savage Nation is now on the rise. And we shall see in November if we can topple King Obama. Jeff Kuhner, sitting in for Michael Savage, the living legend, right here on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Kuhner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage. Michael is off tonight. My buddy, if you're listening, I just want to thank you again for the wonderful, wonderful honor and opportunity of filling in for you tonight. I can't tell you what a thrill it is. You have a superb show, best show in the country without question, and an absolutely outstanding audience. Congratulations, Michael. On trickle-down tyranny. It is an absolute blockbuster. I loved reading it. I devoured it. Frankly, I read it in two sittings. It is an absolute just dynamite of a book. Maybe your best nonfiction book. It's an absolute superb read. It is concise, surgical, lucid, and devastating. Go to michaelsavage.com. michaelsavage.com. for the absolute latest must-read stories you can't find anywhere else. And in particular, Michael has two stories up that I believe really cast a light on the nature of Obama's regime and what he has planned in store for us should he win re-election. Today, Obama came out with a major speech in the East Room in the White House, saying he will only extend the Bush-era tax rates for those making less than $250,000
$1,000 a year. As the story of the head on michaelsavage.com, Obama pushing for tax hike on top earners. He wants to break the back of American business. He wants to soak them and now put in confiscatory tax rates that will drive away investment, drive away capital, destroy what little job growth and creation there is. And yet, there is an opinion poll out on the Hill newspaper, very respectable newspaper, which now shows that the majority of the American people now understand that not only has Obama changed America, but he's changed it for the worse. They now understand he is socializing and nationalizing America. And here is Obama, in his own words, as he is campaigning now across the country, desperate to win re-election. He's been in Pennsylvania, and now over the weekend he has been in Ohio, hitting town after town, city after city. After destroying the middle class, after now racking up the greatest debt and the highest deficits in world history, after a jobs report that says unemployment is now at 8.2%, we barely created 80,000 jobs in June. We are sliding into a double dip recession. Remember the stimulus? Remember when Obama told us if we just passed that $1 trillion stimulus, he said in March of 2009, that unemployment would never go above 8%? That in fact his projection was, he vowed to the American people that by this time, in this summer of 2012, we would have an unemployment rate of 5.5%. We'd be booming now, according to Obama. So as he's destroyed the middle class, more people out of work, more people losing their homes, more people foreclosing, higher deficit, higher debt, he's shrinking and destroying the middle class. If you want the theme of Michael Savage's book, Trickle Down Tyranny, it's really two themes. I'll give it to you in a nutshell. It's a brilliant book. One, Obama is a communist, a Marxist, imposing a socialist dictatorship upon America, piece by piece. And the key to imposing a socialist dictatorship, theme number two, destroy the middle class. And that way you will break the back of America. So here's Obama in Ohio saying, no, forget the inflation, forget the rising gas, the rising food, everything is going up. And you're out of work and you're on unemployment or on food stamps. No, middle class, it's a state of mind. It's values. Boys, roll the clip.
And middle class is also an attitude. It's not just about income. It's about knowing what's important. And not measuring your success just based on your bank account. But it's about your values and being responsible and looking after each other.
It's about being responsible. It's about looking after each other. It's about what you believe. Look, it doesn't matter if you own a home. It's because you want to own a home, you're middle class. Doesn't matter whether you have a job. If you want to have a job, you're middle class. It's a state of mind. Get with the program. Get with the program. He is a liar. And he's a cheap propagandist. And like every liar and cheap propagandist in Obama's kingdom of deceit, he has to have spokespeople who lie just as well as he does. And one of the best professional liars I've ever seen is Congresswoman Debbie Wasserman Schultz from Florida, the chair of the DNC. And here is Debbie Wasserman Schultz now. She was doing the talk show rounds over the weekend, spinning the jobs report. 8.2% unemployment. Fantastic. 11% for Hispanics. Fantastic. 14% for African Americans. Fantastic. Real unemployment. If you look, remember, millions of people have stopped looking for work. They don't even count. You add them and those that are working in part-time jobs, desperately looking for full-time jobs, real unemployment is 15%. Fantastic, according to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Here she is on Fox News Sunday with anchor John Roberts. John Roberts says, hey, can you be happy with this jobs report? Everything is fantastic, according to Debbie Wasserman Schultz. Boys, roll the clip.
So then is the suggestion that we should just keep doing the same thing? You know, there's that old definition of doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result.
What we should do, keep it, I'm pretty happy about 28 straight months of job growth in the private sector.
Are you happy about 80,000 jobs last month?
Hold on a second, John.
69 the month before that? Yeah. Are you happy with those numbers?
Like I've said, we and President Obama has said, we need to continue to improve, and we need to do more, and we need to work together.
I believe Debbie Wasserman Schultz is psychologically ill. I'm serious. I believe that this woman is slightly insane. Now, the reason why I say that, have you ever seen her on television? I just look at her, and I can tell you she's insane. And now she keeps spinning. Does this woman live on the planet Earth? Seriously. Has she just come down from Mars or something? You're going to tell me that everything is fine? 28 months of consecutive private sector growth? We've lost 500,000 private sector jobs since Obama took office. If he didn't expand government, there'd be no job creation in America. The only job he's creating are jobs for bureaucrats and leeches and parasites. That's it. That's all. And she's telling us everything is fine? I mean, look, I understand politics is for liars and thieves and crooks, but there's even honor among thieves. There's even some honor among crooks and liars. Come on. I mean, aren't you embarrassed for yourself, for your family to be saying this? I don't know who Reince Priebus is. I never met Reince Priebus. I've heard of Reince Priebus, but I've never met Reince Priebus. Reince Priebus is the chairman of the RNC. And I'm telling you, he went on after Debbie Wasserman Schultz. And he destroyed Debbie Wasserman Schultz, and he destroyed Obama. Here is Reince Priebus, the chair of the RNC. Finally, somebody is responding to these lies coming from the Obama regime. Here is Reince Priebus saying, job growth, everything is fine. Are you kidding me? Boys, roll clip one.
There are almost 500,000 more people unemployed today than 4 years ago. And if Debbie and President Obama were good on their promises on the stimulus, remember, they said if we passed this $1 trillion stimulus that we'd have 5.5% unemployment today. What that means is if they kept their promises, there would be 8.5 million more people employed today than there would be 4 years ago.
Bingo. It would be like Ronald Reagan. It would be like the Reagan years. It would be dawn in America again. If the stimulus did what Obama and Harry Reid and Nancy Pelosi and Wasserman Schultz told us the stimulus was supposed to do, we'd have 5.5% unemployment. We would have an economic boom. People would be working. People would be spending. People would be hiring. People would be building. We'd be on our way back. We'd be burying the communist Chinese. Instead, we're being overtaken by the world. Our standard of living is collapsing. And so, Reince Priebus asks the question that I think he's completely right in asking. Are they living in a fantasy land? And if the president has failed and lied to the American people and not fulfilled a single promise, why should he be reelected? Let me ask all of you this. If you were the president of a company, and for 3.5 years, your company kept losing money hand over fist, red ink, red ink, red ink, or you're the coach of a football team, or the coach of a basketball team, or the manager of a baseball team, and your team keeps losing last place every year for 3.5 years, is it not time for a change? Is it not time for new leadership? So here's Reince Priebus finally saying, you know what? Kick him out and get Mitt Romney in. Boys, roll the clip.
The fact of the matter is, this president can't fulfill a promise. They're living in fantasy land. And you know what? We're going to put this dream to an end of theirs in November. Save America, fire Barack Obama, and hire Mitt Romney. That's the best stimulus plan for this country right now.
And I agree with him. Defeating Obama is an absolute imperative. But I have a question for all of you, members of the Savage Nation. Where is Mitt Romney? Why is Reince Priebus aggressively attacking Obama and Debbie Wasserman Schultz while Romney, in maybe the most important election campaign in our lives, with the future of the American Republic at stake, where's Mitt Romney? He's not articulating what Reince Priebus is articulating. You know where Mitt Romney is? He's jet skiing. 1-800-449-8255 is the number. What do you think? Is Obama now going to lose the election in November? Are you happy with the way Mitt Romney has been conducting his campaign? Or do you think Mitt Romney will blow it? I want to hear from you. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Just before the break, you heard me play a couple of clips from this weekend by Reince Priebus, the chairman of the RNC, dismantling Debbie Wasserman Schultz, dismantling Obama, dismantling his record. And the question I have for Mitt Romney and for his campaign advisors is a simple one. Why can't Mitt Romney do what Reince Priebus is doing? Wage a frontal assault upon Obama and take the kid gloves off. Take off the gloves. Instead, let me just get, you understand what's wrong with the Mitt Romney campaign? Let me play one little clip for you right now, which I believe encapsulates everything that's wrong with the Romney candidacy and with the Romney campaign. He is at an event with his wife, Ann Romney. And they're saying, boy, Obama's just been unleveling one negative ad after another. You're outsourcing jobs as the head of Bain Capital. You did a lousy job as governor of Massachusetts. You got all these Swiss bank accounts, these Bermuda corporations, Bermuda accounts that are unaccounted for. This guy's the second coming of Richard Nixon, according to these Obama ads. And look at how Mitt Romney handles himself. Boys, roll the clip.
The president's going on a bus tour. He's got no new answers. All he's saying is, let's go government some more.
Well, I feel like all he's doing is saying, let's kill this guy. And I feel like that's not really a very good campaign policy.
Notice how Ann Romney cuts him off. This is the presumptive Republican nominee. This is the man who could very likely be the next president of the United States, the leader of the free world. His wife cuts him off. And not only does she cut him off, she's better than he is. At least she's saying, yeah, the only thing they got is kill this guy. And this guy's going on while they're on a campaign tour, and it's just more government jobs. And look, we've been down this road before, Mitt. This was John McCain's campaign in 2008. Play with the kid gloves. Don't attack Obama too much. Don't get personal. The problem is you can't win with the Boy Scout approach. And what many conservatives don't understand, and especially the advisors around Romney, this is the man, Barack Hussein Obama, who defeated and crushed the Clinton machine. He is surrounded by the Chicago boys. When they play politics, it's for real. They play hardball. You don't beat hardball with softball. Mitt, grow a spine, grow a stomach, follow your wife's lead, and take the fight to the enemy. My question to you, are you happy with the Romney campaign? Do you think he'll win? Jeff Cooner,
sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. What do you think of the Romney campaign? He's been nowhere in sight for the last couple of weeks. He's being hit by a barrage of negative ads. Now the line of attack is he's got Swiss bank accounts. He apparently, when he was at the head of Bain Capital, created an offshore account in Bermuda. They're now raking him over the coals. They're claiming he was outsourcing jobs when he was at the head of Bain Capital, which is not true. But these DNC attacks, these Democratic ads, are biting into Romney's popularity. Obama is now ahead in a lot of the key battleground states by a couple of points. And their strategy is clear: to paint Mitt Romney as the second coming of Gordon Gekko, the character from the movie Wall Street, played by Michael Douglas. A greedy, evil, vulture capitalist who will destroy jobs, lay off workers in order to make a buck. In fact, that was the attack leveled against him first. They had, you know, paved the road had been paved by Newt Gingrich and by Rick Perry during the primary. And now the Obama people are picking that up and intensifying their attacks. And instead of rebutting these attacks, instead of countering their ads with his own ads and forcefully attacking Obama, you see Mitt Romney, I just played the clip, hiding essentially under his wife's skirt. His wife is doing the campaigning for him. And he's nowhere in sight. In fact, if ever you see Mitt Romney, he's at his expensive mansion resort, his home in New Hampshire. He's yachting. He's jet skiing. If I'm asking myself when I look at this, who is advising Mitt Romney? The optics of this, the perception of this, is playing right into Barack Obama's hands. They're playing right into the campaign's hands. I mean, the only thing left is, why doesn't he just stamp GG on his forehead? Just Gordon Gekko, just stamp. Mitt Romney should just stamp GG on his forehead if he's going to continue to play like this. So take off the gloves, follow Reince Priebus, go after Obama, and rebut these false attacks. Or else I'm telling you, you're going to lose. Mitt, I'm telling you, you're going to lose. And to the Republicans, John Boehner recently said, it doesn't matter about Mitt Romney. The only thing that matters is it's a referendum on Obama. So if the referendum is on Obama, whoever the nominee is will coast to victory. Well, I have news for you, Mr. Boehner. Maybe you've been spending too much time at the tanning salon. Maybe your skin has gotten too orange and it's starting to affect your brain. But people don't just want to defeat Obama. They want a viable, credible alternative. And if Romney is not seen as a viable, credible alternative, many people will not vote. They will stay at home. And Obama's forces will come out and they will put him over the top. Romney has to fight and want the election if he's to win it. He cannot coast to re-election. If he coasts, he will lose. And not only will he lose, I believe he will lose badly. And that's why it's time for the Romney camp to fire his advisors, because I got news for him. That little brain trust that he has, those Boston boys, they can't play with the Chicago politicians. They can't play with the Chicago gangsters, the David Axelrods, the Valerie Jarretts, the Rahm Emanuels, who are advising Obama. Obama is in the gutter, and he's beating the hell out of Mitt Romney. And what's Mitt Romney doing? He's having Ann Romney fight his battles for him. My friends, Cowardice does not win you elections. Courage does. 1-800-449-8255. Are you happy with the way Mitt Romney has been running his campaign? Do you think this is the second coming of John McCain and conservatives will lose again? I want to hear from you. Joe in Albany, New York, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Jeff. An honor. No, he's not visceral enough, obviously, and he falls. Sometimes he comes out with a good punch, but then he falls back and backpedals and does nothing. And this is a nightmare that we're living through. Then it's not even worse. This country is living through a disaster. And now, I need to say something. You used a word before, optics. I'm a mathematician, but I've just gotten over a bout of malaria. I'm very weak, but excuse me.
That's okay, Joe. Look, take a breath. Everything is fine, Joe. I don't want you to get a heart attack on the air here, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
Take a breath. Just go ahead now and tell me your point. Go ahead. Shoot.
Okay. The semiotics of what he is doing shows that he is now swinging in retrograde motion from the cultural Marxism of Lukács, Adorno, Horkheimer, Fromm, and Marcuse, and Gramsci, of course, now swinging back in retrograde motion to classical Marxism, where he is directly attacking our socioeconomic structure.
Excellent. Brilliant. Joe, listen, brilliant. You nailed it. For all of you out there, Obama has essentially governed as a cultural Marxist. What does that mean in plain English? It means this. Everything he has done has been to set the stage for a massive socialist government takeover of our country and of our economy. So what has he done? He has now put the country on the verge of bankruptcy through massive deficits and massive debt. He has now essentially told the world we no longer have a border. He has erased our southern border by giving 1 million illegal immigrants amnesty and saying he will give all 12 to 20 million amnesty. He has sued the governments of Arizona and Alabama, in particular Arizona, saying you can no longer defend your own borders. You are no longer sovereign. He is destroying state sovereignty and states' rights. He has now vilified business. He's unleashed Occupy Wall Street. He has now unleashed the labor unions. He has now created the conditions for a Marxist communist revolution. It's obvious. It's clear. Now he's going for the big money. Now he's going to soak the rich. The second term, he's going to go and implement climate change legislation. Meaning, essentially, he's going to force manufacturing to now essentially be under the control of the federal government. That's his plan. That's his strategy. And finally, he is going to change America permanently by giving 15 to 20 million illegal immigrants amnesty. Remember, you give amnesty to 20 million illegal immigrants, you're not just giving 20 million people citizenship or a path to citizenship. Legalized status. They can bring in their friends and family members, especially their family members. So you're talking potentially 30, 40 million people. That's the size of Italy. That's the size of France. You are now bringing in an entire nation into America. They vote overwhelmingly Democratic. They will be eternally loyal and grateful to Obama. This will change the political landscape permanently. Republicans and conservatives will be consigned to permanent minority status. We will become the United States of Mexico. Socialism, multiculturalism, and essentially under the control and influence of the United Nations. That's what Obama has been doing. He has been destroying our sovereignty from within. So we've gone from cultural Marxism to hardcore Marxism. In other words, exactly what George Soros has been advocating for the last 20 years. Soros is a master chess player, and Obama is his queen, the key piece that he moves around the board to destroy his enemies and destroy traditional America. Michael Savage knows it, I know it, and now you know it. Kitty in New York, thanks for holding. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Hi, Kitty. You're on the air.
Yeah, yeah. Now, Romney, you know, at first I thought if he doesn't really fight, he's going to lose. But you know what? I think the American people are smart enough that because, first of all, we listen to you and we listen to Mike Savage, and I think he's smart enough that even if he is wishy-washy, I don't know what he's afraid of, that he'll still win, I hope. Thank you for listening, sir. Thank you.
My pleasure, Kitty. Look, I hope he wins as well, not because I'm a big, great fan of Mitt Romney. To me, he doesn't come from my wing of the Republican Party. I am, like Michael Savage, a conservative nationalist. I am a Reagan conservative. Like Michael, I believe in language, culture, and borders. Romney is a different kind of Republican. He's a country club Republican. He's a moderate Republican. The fact of the matter is, though, he's infinitely better than Obama. For the simple reason is he's not Obama. So you know, the first rule, Hippocratic Oath is, you know, first do no harm. Romney will do no harm. Obama continues to do harm. He's bleeding his patient, America, white. It's a death of a thousand cuts. So Romney, to me, automatically is infinitely better. The question, though, is, and my fear is he not repeating what John McCain did in 2008? He won't mention Reverend Jeremiah, right? But just think about this, okay? Over the weekend, another piece of news right there on michaelsavage.com. Not even mentioned by the mainstream media. Nobody mentioned this right there on michaelsavage.com. Reverend Jeremiah Wright, Obama's longtime pastor, who recently admitted, contrary to the lies of Obama, Reverend Wright said, no, I was his very close, term that he used, very close, spiritual and political advisor. I guided him from his, quote, conversion from his Muslim background to black liberation theology. This is what Reverend Wright said. He was here in Washington, D.C. over the weekend. He spoke at a local Baptist church, Florida Avenue Baptist Church, on Sunday, yesterday. What did Reverend Wright say? He blamed elite universities for brainwashing and indoctrinating black students. And in particular, what did he say? He said that schools like Yale and Harvard and the University of Chicago and the University of California, Berkeley, were, quote, inserting white racist DNA into African American students. Now, you think about that. The insanity of this man is insane. He's crazy. He's loony as a fruitcake. That was your advisor for 20 years? That black racist? That black nutcase? Talking about elite universities? It's like Louis Farrakhan talking about AIDS being a white conspiracy to kill blacks. He was peddling that a couple years ago. This guy's going around saying, what? Universities, Yale and Harvard and the University of Chicago, elite universities, have been inserting white racist DNA into African-American kids. Nothing, not a peep. Silence from the media, nothing, like it never happened. That was his advisor for 20 years? Romney won't touch it. Obamacare, Romney won't touch it. As Chief Justice Roberts, to me, the Judas of all Judases, when he rewrote the law and said, no, it's fine as long as you call it a tax. Okay, it's a tax. Fine, the mandate is a tax. It is the largest tax increase, not in American history, in world history. You have to finance the trillions of dollars have to be raised to finance this monstrosity. Where's Romney? Nowhere. So here you have a guy, it's like a boxing match, leaning with his chin, Obama, who's got a glass jaw, both hands down, taunting you, mocking you, and you refuse to a right cross or a left hook to the head. Knock this guy out. This is the problem I have with Mitt Romney. Romney thinks he's going to come across as a nice guy, as a likable guy, that people are just so unhappy with Obama, they'll vote for anybody. No. Nice guys finish last. I have a memo for you, Mitt Romney.
You want to win the presidency? Take the gloves off, because you're following the same disastrous strategy and path of John McCain. And every day that goes on, what is Obama doing? Cutting him and bleeding him. Bain, outsourcing, wealthy, Swiss bank accounts. The American people are going to hate this guy by the time the Republican convention rolls around. Mitt, wake up before it's too late. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Are you happy with the way Mitt Romney has been running his campaign? Do you think he's been tough enough on Obama? Or do you think this is going to be the second coming of John McCain? I want to hear from you. Tom in Aberdeen, Washington, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, Jeff, thanks for taking my call. So, sir, I do not think this is the second coming of John McCain. Now, Romney is trying to win that undecided centrist 10 to 15%. Of course, I don't know how anybody can be undecided so far, but, well, there they are. I think the best way for him to do that is not to appear to froth at the mouth too early. I think it is better to wait until after the convention and then go on the attack in those last 2 months. I feel that there are so many different issues that can really punch Obama in the gut. They will be like landing, they will be dodging blows from left and right. Well, boxing speak. That he's not going to know, he's not going to have so much of a defense against so many different visceral blows.
Tom, look, I got to tell you, my wife completely agrees with you. She makes exact, in fact, she told me that this morning. I was complaining, I'm reading the papers, and I'm like, what is Romney waiting for? I mean, they're hammering him now on Bain. They're hammering on his supposed outsourcing of jobs, which is a complete lie. They're hammering him on his record as governor of Massachusetts. Now they've seized on this latest piece that came out over the weekend, which claims that Romney apparently has some, or at least had some Swiss bank accounts, has some accounts in Bermuda. And they're just, the Dems are all over the airwaves. And she says, you don't understand Mitt Romney. He's a deliberative man. He's a businessman. He's a CEO. He takes advice from a lot of people. He knows this is the summer season. You have to marshal your forces, bide your time. The American electorate is not really paying attention now. So get the independents, get the moderates, get the centrists, seem like a reasonable guy who's not threatening. And then after the convention in late August, that's when you hit him, you hit Obama with everything you've got. You hit him from the right, you hit him from the left, you hit him from the center. You just bombard the airwaves. And come November, Obama's goose is cooked. Now, that's my wife's argument. That's your argument. It's a plausible argument. I'm going to be very candid with you. Maybe I'm wrong. What I see happening, and this is my big fear, is they are defining Romney. Obama's team is defining Romney. And by the time August and September may come around, when it comes around, it may be too late. That's my fear, that by the time August and September comes around, you mention Mitt Romney and people are going to say Gordon Gekko. People are going to say outsourcing, rich guy, no connections to the American people, out of touch elitist. And by then, it's all over. My friends, if Romney loses and Obama wins, it's goodbye traditional America. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage, the living legend, here. And we'll be right back after this break.
Savage. Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content,
psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. Michael is off tonight. My buddy, if you're listening, thank you so much for allowing me to fill in for you. I cannot tell you just what a joy it's been, what a wonderful opportunity it is, how much I enjoy it. Congratulations once again, my buddy. On an absolute superb book, a gem of a book. If you have not bought it, I urge you strongly to go out, get it, and read it. It is the best book written on the Obama presidency and on Obama's socialist agenda for the United States. Go to michaelsavage.com, michaelsavage.com, for the absolute latest stories you cannot find anywhere else. There is now a breaking story that is of such immense importance. I rarely do this. I hardly ever do this. I've read the story several times during the break, but I will read from the story because this is what's at stake in this election. This is what's at stake with Obamacare, and this is the future that you and your family will inherit. There is now a new survey released by the Doctor Patient Medical Association. It's on the Daily Caller, which says that 83% of American physicians consider or plan to leave their practices over President Barack Obama's health care reform law. I'm reading now from the story. The DPMA, the Doctor Patient Medical Association, a nonpartisan association of doctors and patients, surveyed a random selection of 699 doctors nationwide. Why they didn't go for 700 and stood at 699 is beyond me, but would it have killed them to survey one extra doctor? But anyway, 699 doctors were surveyed by the Doctor Patient Medical Association. According to the story, the survey found that the majority have thought about bailing out of their careers over the legislation, which was upheld last month by the Supreme Court. Even if doctors do not quit their jobs over the ruling, America will face a shortage of at least 90,000 doctors by 2020. Let me repeat that. Even if these doctors do not quit their jobs over the ruling, over Obamacare, and the Supreme Court's decision to uphold it, America will face a shortage of at least 90,000 doctors by 2020. My friends, we're heading for a healthcare crisis. 83% of physicians are considering leaving their jobs over Obamacare. And let me read to you the money quote. This is the quote that all of you should sear into your brains and pass on to your friends, family members, relatives, whoever. It is by the co-founder of the Doctor Patient Medical Association. Her name is Catherine Sirks. Here's what she told the Daily Caller, quote unquote. Remember, this is a nonpartisan group. These are just doctors and nurses, ordinary folks trying to do their jobs. This is what Catherine Sirks had to say. Quote, doctors clearly understand what Washington does not, that a piece of paper that says you are covered by insurance or, quote, enrolled in Medicare or Medicaid does not translate to actual medical care when doctors can't afford to see patients at the lowball payments and patients have to jump through government and insurance company bureaucratic hoops, she said. In other words, it's what I have been warning Americans about for the last 3 years. Just because the government says you're covered, just because the government says, quote, you're insured, doesn't mean you're getting access to quality care. How do I know this? Why have I been one of the leading opponents of Obamacare in this country? Why? Because, my friends, I am originally from Canada. Many people think, because I'm such a nationalist, that I was born in the United States. I wasn't. I am an American not by birth, but by choice, because I believe it is the greatest country in the history of the world. But having been born and raised in Canada, where they have socialized medicine, where they have a single-payer system, where they have government-run health care, I have seen the disaster up front and up close. I have lived it. I saw my mother with cancer, my mother-in-law with cancer, who were not able to get proper treatment, where they couldn't even get proper, decent, basic medical care because of the shortages and the rationing imposed by government-run healthcare. Let me give you one example. I still have family up in Canada. In fact, my wife, who's also Canadian, has a lot more family up in Canada. So recently we went on a vacation a couple of weeks ago. We went up to visit some family and some friends. We decided to take a couple who had grown up, my wife's name is Grace, who had grown up with Grace. They had been married 4 years ago. Because both our mothers were sick, we were not able to attend their wedding. So we took them out 4 years late, but we took them out for dinner. Nice steak dinner, beautiful steakhouse. And he's about 40-ish, she's 31. We're sitting around the table. He, out of the blue, says, I found a lump on my chest. I don't know what this lump is. I'm pretty sure it's a tumor. Now, whether it's benign or malignant, I don't know. Because I called up to speak to my primary care physician, and I was told I had to wait 6 months before I can get a cancer specialist who will give me an X-ray to find out if my tumor is cancerous or not. I could be dead in 6 months. So what am I going to do? In fact, that's what I asked him. I said, what are you going to do? He says, I got no choice. I'm consulting a naturopath, a vitamin specialist, to see if I can combat this potential cancerous tumor or this tumor, this lump, with natural vitamins. Now, I know Michael Savage. I know Michael swears by vitamins. God bless him. I think he's right. I think vitamins are very good for you. But with all due respect, this guy is now having to resort to witch doctors. My friend, or actually Grace's friend, to be more accurate, has to resort to witch doctors. He's got to combat potentially a cancerous tumor with vitamins and herbs. That's the way you survive with cancer up in Canada. I can give you 1,000 horror stories like that off the top of my head from people and friends who've told me one horror story after another. This is what we're going to impose here in the United States? This is what that Judas, Chief Justice John Roberts, upheld in the Supreme Court, claiming now that just because you call it a tax, the federal government can compel and force you against your will to purchase health insurance? Just because the federal government calls it a tax, we now essentially live under a soft tyranny? Where the government can tell us what to do if they think it's moral for us or good for us? Why are 83% of physicians thinking of leaving and bailing out if Obamacare is implemented? Is it because they're all Republicans? No. It's because they know what I know and what people who've lived under government-run healthcare know. The only way you keep costs down, these Democrats like Debbie Wasserman Schultz and Nancy the Piranha Pelosi and Barack Obama, they're running around all the time. Oh, look at Canada. Look at England. Look at Europe. They keep costs down. Sure, they keep costs down. They ration care.
That's how you keep costs down. The lines are long. You don't have the kind of technological equipment that you have in the United States. The best research and development. The best medicines. The best equipment. You have none of that. That's how you keep costs down. It's very simple. So what is Obamacare going to do? It's going to spend trillions of dollars, money that we don't have, creating a massive new government bureaucracy and a massive new private insurance bureaucracy, bureaucracy upon bureaucracy, and impose price controls to force doctors to now accept 30 million new patients. The doctors aren't stupid. They see the lines coming in from the beginning of their office out the door. And they say, so you want me to work basically for nothing, to treat people with subpar equipment, to ration care, to have a panel of experts decide what treatment somebody should get or what treatment somebody shouldn't get, depending on the cost. I'm not going to be party to this. This is not medicine. This is not healthcare. This is butchery. And we have 90,000 physicians that we will be short of in less than 8 years. We're not going to have enough doctors. This thing is going to collapse 6 ways to Sunday. It is a disaster in the making. And what is the president's response? With all of this information that we know, we can see the tsunami coming. We can see the disaster coming. What is Obama doing today? Is he talking with his critics? Is he trying to inform himself? Is he not worried that 83% of doctors may leave their practice? He blames Bush. He blames Bush. The problem with the economy, Bush's fault. The problem with the deficits and the debt, Bush's fault. The problem with healthcare in America, Bush's fault. I bet he gets up in the morning, has a sore back, that's Bush's fault. Everything is Bush's fault. And so my question to you is a simple one. It's a double-barreled question. To people in the healthcare field, doctors, nurses, aides, whatever, do you plan to leave your profession should Obamacare become fully implemented and the law of the land in 2014? And to all of you out there, do you support or do you oppose Obamacare? Do you believe it's good for America or do you believe it's bad for America? 1-800-449-8255. Jeff Cooner sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. There is a new breaking story, a survey by the Doctor Medical Patient Association coming out now. A study of doctors, a study of nurses, a nonpartisan group has now openly said that 83% of doctors are planning to leave their jobs or careers should Obamacare be fully implemented. There is already a massive shortage of doctors expected in 7 to 8 years. Do you support Obamacare? Do you think these doctors are being hysterical? Or do you oppose Obamacare and why? 1-800-449-8255. Are you afraid that your care will be rationed? I want to hear from you. Robert in Las Vegas, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Here, Jeff. I'm an orthopedic surgeon, and I lived in England for a while. In London, they have something called National Health, which the state or the country requires you to take X amount of patients per month, X amount. Over that, you can take private patients who pay. And would you believe it that the private patients get who pay more get better care than the ones who are allowed X amount of money by the state? And basically, that's how that operates. That's probably going to operate like that here eventually.
Robert, so what you're saying is what you saw firsthand in Britain, what they call the National Health Service, is a two-tiered health care.
Correct.
If you have money and you want to pay out of pocket, you're going to get, I assume, pretty good quality care. And if you're just on the standard system, well, you see your doctor and you take your chances.
Well, why would a doctor give somebody who can pay $20,000 for an operation the same care as somebody who the state is paying you £700 or £500?
Now, Robert, let me ask you this, because obviously, you know, you know the system very well in England. Do you think it's because Obama and the Democrats and the liberals keep telling us the British system is superior to the American one? Do you agree with that, which you saw firsthand?
It's only superior that everybody's taken care of. That's the only superior part of it.
But the quality of care is nothing to compare what we have here in the United States.
Correct. We have the ones who pay get it. The ones who don't get second thought.
You know what, buddy? I got to tell you, thank you. Robert, thank you for that call, because it's exactly what I saw in Canada. The wealthy, and in particular, the politically connected, the prime minister, people close to the prime minister, people in government, they get private health care. They go to the front of the line, while the rest of the people have to wait in these long lines and get subpar care. So, yeah, technically you're all covered. But if you got a lump on your chest like my friend, and you got to wait 6 months to see a cancer specialist, you could be dead. Do you want to play Russian roulette with your health care? I don't think so. Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. If any of you are interested in reading my work, just go to washingtontimes.com, K-U-H-N-E-R. Punch in my last name. You can read all of my columns. Let's go to our busy phone lines. Gary in Florida, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Thank you. I wanted to make a couple of points. The first one to plug in to the statement that you made about doctors leaving the profession. During the 90s, I had to leave the country, and I was an airline pilot, and I flew for a small German carrier. I was there 5 years, and I worked under their socialized medicine. Two of my co-pilots on a small airline, 180 pilots, quit being physicians. They were formerly physicians, and they could not take it anymore. They were overloaded. They were tired. They didn't get that much money for what they were doing, and they left the profession, and they joined up with those of us who were pilots and became co-pilots for the particular airline that I was with. The second point I wanted to make, it seems that no one is making the statement, even though it may be in the under the radar, that the people that are forcing this upon us are not going to be under it. The congressmen, the senators, Barack Obama, they're going to have a good health care, but they're forcing it down upon us, and I'm 110% against Obamacare.
Gary, bingo, brilliant call. Brilliant, brilliant call. You are completely right. It's a point that's rarely ever mentioned. If Obamacare is so good, then why doesn't it apply to the president, to the cabinet, and to members of Congress? If it's such an incredible plan, if it's such an incredible system that these people are creating, how come they get to keep their gold-plated private health insurance? So let me get this straight. There's one level of care for the people who are politically connected, the elites, and then another level of care, a lower one, a substandard one, that we're going to have to live in, the rest of us. You know where this happened? This is exactly what happened under communism in Eastern Europe. The apparatchiks, as they were called, the members of the Communist Party, oh, they have their dachas, they have their cars, they have their private shops that they can go and get all their wonderful Western goods. They see their own private doctors. But for the rest, the peasants, too bad, wait in line. Wait in line. Hold a chicken in your hand or a pig and try to bribe a doctor so you can get to the front of the line. That's going to be us pretty soon. Start plucking your chickens. Start raising a few pigs in the backyard, because that's what it's going to take now, maybe, for you to get any kind of attention from a doctor. And I haven't said this on the air before, because I like to keep things in my family private, but I'm going to be very candid now, because this story has triggered this, and I'm not going to lie. I'm not going to pretend that I don't know what this story is about. I know it's true, and how do I know it's true? My brother-in-law, my sister's husband, is a doctor. He now practices medicine. He's a general physician in Florida, in southern Florida. He used to be a doctor in Canada for many years. And just like those German doctors that you were mentioning, he eventually left Canada. And the reason why he left Canada, he said, as a doctor, I felt I could not fulfill my ethical and professional obligations. I was overworked. I was shuffling patients in and out. I was giving them horrible substandard care. They were waiting to see me for hours and hours on end. I tried to refer them for an MRI or a CAT scan or you name it. We don't have the technology. We don't have the resources. People are dying unnecessarily. And as a doctor who took the Hippocratic Oath to help and cure people in good conscience, I could no longer fulfill my obligations. And so he came down to the United States, where he says the system is infinitely better than anything he's seen in Canada or, frankly, in France, where he was also familiar with that system because he's French-Canadian. And now he's telling me it's not just him, it's all of his colleagues at work. They can't stand Obamacare. They can't stand the individual mandate. They can't stand all the taxes. They can't stand the rationing. They can't stand the army of bureaucrats. They're saying this is going to strangle and destroy the healthcare system in America. And notice, this is the pattern with Obama. Remember, he said he was going to be a transformative president, that he was going to transform America. What has he done? He's transforming our healthcare system. He now came out in support of gay marriage, radically urging, calling for the radical transformation of the basic institution of society. He's now given amnesty to 1 million illegal immigrants, radically transforming our immigration system and our borders. He's now racked up deficits and debt, unparalleled, unprecedented in American history. He's transforming our economic and financial system. Everything is a wholesale transformation until the system collapses. And that's what Saul Alinsky preached. Stress the system until it collapses. And then you can implement your revolution upon the rubble and ruins of the fallen capitalist system. That's what he's been doing for nearly 4 years. And this election, I truly believe, is the defining election of our lifetime. I believe we have been put on this earth for this election. And people may say, oh, Jeff, you're exaggerating. No, I don't. I don't believe I am. I don't believe I'm exaggerating. Every generation of Americans has had pivotal moments in the direction and destiny of this republic. 1776, 1860, 1940, 1980, every two or three decades, there is a pivotal moment that says whether we will remain a free people
or whether we will go into the darkness of tyranny and oppression. This, I believe, is the seminal election of our lifetime. And at the heart of this election is Obamacare, and at the heart of Obamacare is whether we will remain a free nation and a free people under the Constitution and under the rule of law, or whether we will become a European socialist entitlement state and destroy the greatest republic that the world has ever seen. Freedom or tyranny? Socialism or capitalism? America or Europe? That is the question before us. As Shakespeare said, shall we be or not be? Shall we be a great nation that our ancestors and forefathers bequeathed to us? Or shall we go quietly into the good night and do exactly what our founding fathers warned us against? Giving the central government, led by Barack Hussein Obama, sweeping arbitrary powers over our lives and those of our family. I know what side I'm on. What side are you on? 1-800-449-8255. Judy in Miami, Florida, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Yes. You know, I think it's a good thing that Obama got in to wake up the people, because we've had this system in medicine. I'm a nurse 52 years. I've always gone to Mexico or other places, sent my patients there because they've been curing cancer. They do stem cell therapy. They do anti-aging. They treat you like a queen when you go in one of their hospitals. Here I have been, when you try to speak out against medicine, why aren't they putting them in through Congress, the pharmaceutical companies? 60,000 people died from Vioxx. They're just settling the suit. Each one got $16,000. None of them are brought up for murder.
Judy, look, you make a very good point. I got to tell you something. I know Michael has been very big on this. Have you noticed? Now, notice this. Do you remember about 4 or 5 years ago, the Democrats and the liberal left never stopped going on about how we had to re-import drugs from Canada? Do you remember that? We had to lift the ban on importation, that these drug makers were making out like bandits, and they had to be curtailed and stopped. That has all ended over the last couple of years. You know why? Just to prove your point, Judy. Because the pharmaceuticals sent their army of lobbyists, and they said, oh, you want to pass Obamacare? You want to pass government-run health care? Well, we need exemptions for us. We have to make sure that we protect our profits. And so Obama said, sure, you don't want to re-import drugs from Canada at a lower price? No problem. We're going to put that in Obamacare. Furthermore, and here's the kicker, you expand coverage to 30 million people. Under Bush, you gave prescription drug coverage to seniors. Who's going to make all this money? It's not you. It's not me. It's the pharmaceuticals. They're going to make out like bandits. They're now going to be giving more and more pharmaceuticals and more drugs to people. That's been their agenda the whole time. And they have been funneling money into Obama and into the Democrats. They've bought off the Democrats. They've bought off the Republicans. And all of a sudden now, have you seen this? They've turned on a dime. Suddenly, no one talks about the ban on reimportation of drugs from Canada. Nobody wants to lift that ban now. Suddenly, have you noticed Obama never badmouths the pharmaceuticals now? All of a sudden, it was like big tobacco for a while. Remember, they were bashing big tobacco, bashing big pharma. Now nobody bashes big pharma. It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable. So they want to hook you on drugs. That's what they want. They want to hook you on drugs. Pump you up with all sorts of stuff. You're completely right. Half the stuff you take, you don't even need to take. The doctors are in the pay of the pharmaceuticals. Everybody knows the racket. I go to see my local doctor. I swear to you, I go see my local doctor. There's one pharmaceutical representative after another. It's like a rotating door with their suits, their starch shirts and their suits and their briefcases. And it's just one sample after another. And it's not just samples. My brother-in-law tells me in Florida, they take you out for lunch. What do you want, steak? What do you want, sushi? What do you want, lobster? The finest restaurants, they wine and dine you. You sure? Peddle this to your patients. Peddle this to your patients. So my doctor keeps recommending all of these drugs to me. He says, here's a two-week trial. Here, take it. You got a little bit of heartburn? Here, take this. He doesn't say, I don't know, exercise a bit more. Take it easy on the stress. Be careful what you eat. If you eat at spicy Mexican restaurants, you're going to get heartburn. Take it easy. No. Take this. You'll feel better. Take a pill. I'll give you a prescription. Here. The racket is unbelievable in this country. But just to show you what whores rats are, all of a sudden, Big Pharma is no longer an enemy. No, they're our friends. Why? Because they have an army of lobbyists that have now successfully lobbied the Obamacare legislation, got their provisions in, and they're going to be taken care of. They're going to make tens of billions off of Obamacare. They're making out like gangsters. And who's eventually going to foot the tab? This is trillions of dollars we're talking about in Obamacare. This is a massive entitlement. We can't pay for Social Security. We can't pay for Medicare. We can't pay for Medicaid. It's going broke. Let's add on another entitlement that we can't pay for. In the end, it's going to be you and me, my friends. We're going to be left holding the bag. And that's why I said it before and I'll say it again. This monstrosity must go down. The sooner, the better. Tom, thanks for holding. You're on the Savage Nation.
Jeff Cooner filling in for Michael, America Savage. That's red, white, and blue dynamite, baby.
Thank you so much, Tom. What's on your mind, my friend?
Thank you, Jeff. That's why we need strong conservatism from, damn it, Romney. Jeff, he's given us an 85-mile-an-hour fastball down Broadway. We need a 93-mile-an-hour cutter. Today he talked about slowing the growth of government. Jeff, we're on a train wreck. Some experts say this thing could blow in 6 months. We might have 2 years left financially. We need to roll back spending to like 03 and 04 levels at least. And tail government back so we can get to a balanced budget. We don't have enough time left. And also, Ann Romney's got to sit down, Jeff. She's talking over potential president of the United States. That's ridiculous. And we need more than the Keystone Pipeline to correct this. We need to lift the moratorium on offshore drilling. We need our shale oil. North Dakota is the model, Jeff.
No, you nailed it. No, look, North Dakota has 3% unemployment. They're booming. Just follow the North Dakota model. That's it. It's that simple. We are 2 to 5 years away from becoming Greece. Is this where we want to end up? The greatest country in the history of the world? I say no. What say you? This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage, on the Savage Nation.
Savage.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. This is Jeff Cooner from the Washington Times, sitting in for the living legend, Michael Savage. 1-800-449-8255. Brian in Knoxville, Tennessee. You're on the Savage Nation.
The individual mandate was supported by the Republicans in the 80s and the Heritage Foundation. And you look at Romney, it's what he used for his system. And now when the Democrats support it, immediately it's something that is bad for America. And I'm not saying it's good or bad. What I'm saying, I'm tired of party politics. I'm tired of if the Republicans say it, the Democrats hate it. If the Democrats say it, the Republicans hate it. It's nonsense. I think we need some truth out there. Go ahead, rail against me.
No, what is there to rail against? I think the individual mandate is a bad idea. The fact that it was promoted by Newt Gingrich, the fact that it was promoted by the Heritage Foundation, I don't care. The Heritage Foundation supports free trade with China. I think that's a horrible idea. I think it's frankly economic treason. So the fact that some Republicans support bad ideas, or the fact that Mitt Romney imposed
I mean, look, Romney Care has been a disaster in Massachusetts. Frankly, I do a lot of fill-in work for major hosts in Boston and that local area. They can't stand Romney Care down there. I think that's one of the problems Romney has. He has the legacy. It's an albatross around his neck of Romney Care. And now, what I think is disingenuous is when the Obama people come out and say, well, Romney is ultimately responsible for the massive tax hikes in Obamacare because Romney Care was the blueprint for Obamacare. Well, hold on now. Romney didn't pass Obamacare. Obama did. But no, Romney Care was the blueprint for Obamacare. I think that's why he's having a hard time attacking and criticizing Obamacare, because his advisors were advising Obama on that plan. And it's a bad plan. It hasn't worked in Massachusetts. It won't work here in the United States on the federal level. It hasn't worked in Canada. It hasn't worked in Europe. Now, my question to you, Brian, is a simple one. Why do you want to destroy the greatest healthcare system in the world? Why would you want to do that?
And I think you bring up an interesting point. We have a great healthcare system, but I think there's room for improvement. And I do not believe that Obamacare is the best answer. I think we actually need to look into ways to improve our healthcare system, to allow more people in, to allow better access, and to allow doctors to more freely practice. So I think we
Bingo.
Need to open up this dialogue.
Bingo. Brian, you nailed it. If they were serious about reforming healthcare, they would have done it. What they've done is they've thrown the baby out with the bathwater. And now we're going to be, it's all going to come on us now. That's the problem. The baby is America and has been thrown out the window. That's what Obamacare has done. Can somebody please catch the baby? Jeff Cooner, sitting in for Michael Savage on the Savage Nation. God bless you, and God bless the United States of America. Savage.